things differently. Some won't let you be their friend, make it tough for you to fit in. They only like what they know. They're just blind to a beautiful mind. You're a stranger on the earth.
You are listening to CFRO Community Radio Station on 102.7 FM. The upcoming show, Conscious Living Radio, is a program that explores frontiers of consciousness, spirituality, personal growth, emerging paradigms in psychology, health, science, and innovative philosophies that reflect commitment to the advancement of individual, social, and global transformation.
They dare to be different. Some rise to glory while others fall in shame. Let them shine, all the beautiful minds. You're a stranger on the earth, thinking your way in an unfamiliar world, seeing things differently, living by your observations and your originality. You're a visionary.
Listeners of Co-op Radio Station 102.7 FM. This is Andrew Resmer and you're listening to Conscious Living Radio. Tonight we are going to be talking about how do we approach change. And today's show is co-hosted with...
Linda Christensen here.
Mm-hmm. Linda, could you please introduce our guests?
Yes, indeed. We are having again with us here in the studio, Lisa DeLuzania and Laura Bradley. Lisa is a registered professional counselor, and she works with people to bring balance and passion to their lives, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. She is now living in the Bahamas, but she's here with us in the studio, which is exciting. I'm so happy for you. She's got a gorgeous tan here. Her next project is writing a column for the Bahamas Weekly and to launch a talk blog radio show. She's also an athlete, bringing her passion for sports and movement to her work as a counselor and lifestyle coach. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you, Linda.
And then we also have Laura here, Laura Bradley. She's a registered professional counselor with the Canadian Professional Counselors Association and a certified group facilitator. She is currently teaching the Practitioner Training, a three-year counselor training program with Clear Mind International here locally. She has developed and facilitated personal growth workshops and has experience in counseling individuals and families. She's also a community trainer and educator, with her main areas of expertise being postpartum adjustment, relationship, and parenting. And that's the case because she began her own journey into counseling through struggling with postpartum depression herself. And she has spent years working with parents in this arena. She's appeared on CTV, City TV, CFUN Radio, contributed articles to the Globe and Mail and Today's Parent. And she is here in the studio with us as well. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you, Lisa.
No, I'm Linda. Yeah, she's Lisa. I'm Linda. Lisa, Linda, and Laura, the three L's here. Yeah. So we've had you in the past, and it's been awesome. And in the past, we talked about relationships mm-hmm. with our partners. And today, we're talking about relationship to change, the nature of change, the struggles we have sometimes with change. And I just want to give the listeners a heads up that this is actually a call-in show tonight. So if any questions come up that you would like to bring here to the table, or any kind of comment or anything you'd like to put forth here and be on the air with us, feel free to call at 604-684-7561. That's 684-7561, and we look forward to hearing from you. So to begin with, Lisa and Laura, exactly what is change all about? And is there good change, bad change? What kind of changes? Why is it we struggle with change? We want to, as you say, we want to focus tonight a little bit about our whole journey through life in dealing with changes that we encounter. So is change good or bad?
Well, I think it depends on the perspective. You can label it bad. And then sometimes it can make your change and the transition a lot more difficult. And if you look at it that you're not labeling it good or bad, that it's a journey of some sort with a question mark or curiosity, then it doesn't necessarily have to be good or bad.
Which is quite important, because change is inevitable. Our prime directive in life is to evolve, and so we're always changing and moving, and whether that's internally or externally in our lives, things change all the time. That's part of being a human being. There's losses, there's growth. So to get out of the good or bad makes a huge difference to how you experience your life.
Yeah. Now, we are in a time of change, for example, here coming September. I always look at September as almost being like another New Year's mm-hmm. time, where we often sort of reflect on our life and consider perhaps new projects and ventures for the coming year. Many start school, many end their vacation and start work. It's quite a transitional period, and it's a period of change. What sort of changes do you think people might be perhaps contemplating or even struggling with perhaps at this time of year?
I think one thing about the September, it is kind of like a New Year's. It's kind of like people use it as a check-in to go, okay, what did I commit to in January? What haven't I accomplished, or what did I set out for myself that I haven't done so well? So it's kind of like a second chance usually. I think of September as a second chance month uh-huh. to kind of regroup yourself.
Yeah, to sort of maybe revisit the commitments you maybe made to change, and to see, assess if you evaluate how you've progressed or not.
Yeah.
And it's also the beginning of a school year, and we've all experienced that for 12, 15, 17 years of our lives. We've experienced that change in September. And even if you're not even near a school anymore, everybody has that feeling of, oh, am I supposed to be starting something new here? there's a pressure that maybe I should be doing more in my job or starting a new job or taking a course. There's some sort of pressure that can come along with September. And also your own children might be starting school, which also adds to the pressure. There's a lot of people right now where children are transitioning into high school or elementary school, and it's a big piece for parents to deal with that.
Yeah, even for families, it's like you've slowed down for the last 3 months, and all of a sudden the pace is about to pick up.
Yeah,
and so some people kind of go towards that change, like they're getting dragged into something. Other people are excited about it.
Yeah.
But again, that's how you impact your experience of your life, is how you feel inside about the change.
Now, how does it kind of play out in a person's life? Say some people, I don't know if it's different personality types or certain ways, habits that they've developed perhaps in terms of how they relate to change in life, but some people fear change and deeply resist it and dread it. And others, I mean, they get high on it, they thrive on it, and they're always looking for a stimulating change. Is it because of their certain personality types, or that they've developed certain practices in their life? You know, why is it that some people respond to change in more of a fearful, dreadful way, and others embrace it?
Well, I certainly think it is a bit of both. It's how you've been brought up. How did you face change as a child? When you were moving, did you talk about the move ahead of time, or was the family just relocated in a quick and sort of untimely fashion that, you know, the whole family vacated from to the other side of the country or something? Or did everyone sit and talk about it and talk about their fears and talk about what could be coming up, what's around the corner, how are we going to approach that? Or if dad or mom lost their job, how did that happen? How did that play out as a child? You know, what fears were discussed, what fears weren't. So, and some people just love the thrill of change. They will be running towards anything new, and that can be difficult too, because they can also be adrenaline seekers.
Uh-huh.
And so they don't actually get settled in on anything either. So they can be either one of those extremes. So somewhere in the middle is to know, what are you? You know, what kind of, how do I approach change? How much of it do I want to keep from my past, and how much do I want to toss away and start something new?
And I tend to find people that do well with change are people that have actually had a good security base from they have had that kind of developmental, like, I'm safe, my family's solid. Whether there's change or not, we respond in a way that Lisa was talking about, that we're going to talk about the change. Everybody's allowed to have their reactions and their feelings and their thoughts, and the family moves through change quite gracefully. And if you have that kind of solid place of safety, those people as adults tend to respond to change quite well, because nothing's being threatened. They know their safety is not being threatened, they know their relationships aren't being threatened, and they know who they are not being threatened.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that tend to not do well are the people that feel like there's some sort of threat of their safety, right? Something, yes. I'm not going to be able to live through this, or yes. I'm going to lose something I really love, and therefore I have to contract and try to be really rigid and keep things together.
Right, and sort of protect themselves. Mm-hmm. They're in a very highly protective stance because it's seen as threatening. Yeah. So in other words, so much of our responses to life and change is a result of our early childhood, and almost sort of like the subconscious programming, imprinting that has sort of taken place there in those early, especially formative years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you do counseling for people here in addressing perhaps some of these fears, do you want to, I mean, I'm sure it comes up in many ways. We could look at, oh goodness, you know, perhaps it could be, you know, in talking about change, we can just talk about, well, there's a change that we go through in terms of just even midlife crisis, mm-hmm. or menopause. There's just the change in the fact that we grow old.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that even for a child, there's change. Like here, as people can check on our website, we've got a fabulous thing coming up, Teen Journey, teenjourney.org. And that is a period of change for children to enter into adulthood that can be, mm-hmm. very stressful, a time of chaos. You don't quite know who you are, what you're leaving, what you're going into, how to, you know, find your path. It could be just such a chaotic, confusing time with so many forces and pressures coming at you from peers, school, parents, you know, society at large. And then again at midlife or even at menopause, I mean, or you're going to be having a child, you know, mm-hmm. we have all these life cycles and changes that take place. Do you find that in our society? Oh, okay. I think, do we have a caller on the line with a question? Is that, sorry. Okay. Well, we'll pick that up in just 1 second if that's good, just to follow mm-hmm. through here on this. But do you find, say, in our society, we are all the more in ways somewhat helpless because we don't have these kinds of life cycle rituals that have existed in past societies, more traditional societies, and that then could be one reason why we have difficulty in change. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, such a rapidly changing society. I mean, change is phenomenal in the world mm-hmm. we live in. Talk about, you know, the stress that's a result of that. But let's talk about that in just a moment after we first hear from our first caller. And can you see here, which I can't see anything. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh. Hello?
Oh, hi there. Yeah.
Hello.
Welcome to Conscious Living Radio. May I ask who's calling?
Joan.
Hi, Joan. It's great to have you on the air. Do you have a question at this point already for our guests, Lisa and Laura?
Yes. My husband and I have been married for just over 20 years, and we have a couple of teenagers, and our lives are so crazy busy with school and work and everything that we can't find enough time for ourselves. I'm just wondering how we can do that.
Well, before Lisa and Laura answers this question, I have a suggestion. There is a teen journey camp coming in this next week. So if you send your teenagers to an 8 days long camp, you will have 8 days just for yourself and your husband.
That's an excellent idea.
Andrew can answer that question for you.
There you go. You can have a nice little holiday.
That would be good, but my kids start next week.
Oh, they do already. Oh,
I'm sure they're not going to mind missing 4 days of school.
Okay.
So your question is, how do you and your husband find time for yourself in your fast-paced lives?
Yeah,
I think that's a great question, and I think lots of families struggle with that question because we are so busy, and I think that, you know, it is part of that change of your relationship. It's like you can't, with a family, spend time the same way you could during your courtship. So you've got to find a way to get quality time together instead of the same amount of time, right? So whether it's, you know, you meet for lunch if you work close to each other, whether you, it's okay to say to your kids, mommy and daddy are going to spend half an hour together. How old are your children?
13 and 17.
Right. So it's okay for you to actually, maybe this is part of your struggle with change, of letting go of this next part of parenting. Like, it's a healthy thing to model relationship to your children, to your teens, so they know what it actually looks like to be in a grown-up relationship. So it's okay to say, it's important for me to spend time with your father, and so tonight after dinner we're actually going to go out into the balcony and we're going to have, you know, an hour uninterrupted, or we're going to go for a walk or something. That's a great way to start spending time, and I'd say start with small steps.
Mm-hmm. And also have a conversation with each other on your fears about letting go, and what would it feel like if you had a once-a-week date night? Because probably if you're not taking it, somewhere inside you there's some fear about what would happen if you took this time for each other and didn't give it to the kids. So some underlying, I don't know, it could be guilt, or it could be, you know, you need to do more, or you think you're not doing enough for your children, or whatever it is, something inside could be going on for either or both of you that you're not taking the time. So to have a conversation with each other that's uninterrupted and see what those little tiny voices are saying that's preventing you from enjoying each other.
Hmm. Yeah, I think we almost feel guilty taking time for ourselves.
Right. Yeah. So another way to kind of break through that guilt, once you identify that and talk about that with each other, is to think to yourself, well, what is your hope for your teenagers? Like, are you wanting them to have a relationship where they feel passionate and loved and have a connection with each other? And if that's true, that you have to know that they're going to learn from your actions. So if you're not teaching them what that looks like by doing it, then they're not going to learn that lesson. So it's a gift to them to demonstrate that actually our relationship is important. It's important to the well-being of this family. So we have to take care of it.
Okay.
And one more little thing. Always go back to what it was like when you were at that age, and what it was like for you, and how close you were to your parents, And what kind of message did you receive from either too much attention or not enough? And are you trying to make up for whatever you didn't have back then? And that's a question for you and your husband to talk about.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Joan.
Thank you, Joan.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joan. Thanks. Does that resonate for you? And do you have any further questions or anything? Or
no, that's some good ideas. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks so much for calling in, Joan. Bye bye. Okay. There's another. Sorry. Okay, do we push the right button? Oh dear.
We have to press the release button, which is
release button. I can't see anything.
We're having
the
technical.
Small red button.
Release.
Perfect. Thank you.
Good job.
Okay. Was there
technical
another? So I'm so sorry. There's another caller, or no? Everything's okay.
In a minute.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Why don't we just follow through a little bit on that in terms of change, the types of changes that go on with respect to parenting and raising a family. First of all, lovey-dovey as a couple and a baby comes along. And you don't sleep. Mm-hmm. And you're so tired, exhausted. There goes the sex life. There goes much intimacy. Hubby might feel neglected because so much attention goes to the baby. Wife feels maybe that all this work now upon her, all the demands of that, whatever. I mean, there's so many issues and things that come up just with starting a family.
Well, and I think that's what people forget, that even change that we want and feel positive about can have an impact, that there might be a loss to grieve. Like, that relationship is changing, and it's like we feel guilty about feeling sad about that, because then maybe that we, parents often question, does that mean that I don't love my baby enough? Was this not the right decision? When it really has nothing to do with any of that. It's just that things have changed. It's not the two of you anymore. There's another person there with you that actually requires a lot of time and attention. Mm-hmm. And you're not at your best. You haven't slept well, most likely. Your schedule is now being demanded upon you, as opposed to you having control of your schedule. So there's a whole bunch of things. And your relationship with your primary partner is changing. Mm-hmm. And that's a tough one for people to be able to let themselves just feel sad about that for a little bit. And it doesn't mean anything about what they just chose to do. It still means they want to have a family. Mm-hmm. And to go on to, okay, who are we now as mom and dad? Mm-hmm. And how do we stay connected here?
So do you think that often what happens with a young couple starting a family, that they start to maybe, because they're feeling the stress and tension and the difficulties of it, that they translate that difficulty onto the other person and almost want to blame them or blame the relationship, or that there's something wrong with us and our relationship, mm-hmm. that's the problem, instead of just accepting that, this is a demanding, changing time here. Do you have any tips for a couple
I think
to cope with this?
A lot is expectation. Is to understand that it's going to change, and also the expectation that it's not going to be exactly the same, and sometimes there's stars in their eyes, like this baby is going to bring something so special, and of course it's going to bring something so special. It's not going to cure, it's not going to make the relationship more solid if it wasn't solid already. It changes it. So having too high expectations can be really difficult. Mm-hmm. And having sort of head in the clouds, not even looking at the changes, can also be really difficult. Mm-hmm. So to really know, keep up with what's happening and keep your eyes open.
Mm-hmm. And to be a bit realistic, because we can be in fantasy land sometimes,
yes,
about these things,
exactly.
About almost like playing house and,
yes.
And you have this idyllic picture of the baby sleeping so sweetly in the crib. Instead, they're screaming all night.
Right.
Well, I think it's time to remind our listeners that this is call-in show. Our phone number to the studio is 604-684-7561. And we actually do have a caller online right now. I think the caller's name is Tanya.
Hi, yes, it's Tanya. I'm back. I'm a big fan of your show.
Oh, hi, Tanya. I remember Tanya.
Oh, hi, Tanya. Yeah. Great to have you. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I'm going back to the change question, and I'm just wondering, when you come from a...
We got disconnected here. I don't know.
Do you still have me?
Now we do.
You're back. Now you're back.
Okay,
yes.
Great. So I'm just wondering... how you embrace change, where you know you want the change, and yet you come from a family system, for example, as I come from an immigrant farmer background, where you save your money,
and you don't go on holidays. And so when I try to make a choice around renting a car for myself, because that's going to make my life easier on my holiday, I can do that step. And then I'm stressed the whole time about how much money I'm spending on the car. Mm-hmm. And even though I can talk myself saying, you know, this is a good choice and I want to make that step, it's still some part of my body is rejecting it. Like, I'm not having a good time while I'll rent the car because I'm worried about the money I'm spending. So even though you know it's good for you and you want to embrace the change, how do you get to the tipping point where you can actually live out the change that you know you want?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. That's a fabulous question, Tanya. Thanks so much. I think that will apply to almost everybody, you know, to some degree, in some way, on whatever issue it is that they're struggling with, is they can be aware of the change that they want to attain, and they have the desire and the intention there, but there's something deeper that is holding them back, that's blocking their progress here in making that change.
Yeah, and so I think what you have to do is you have to still, like what you're doing, you're still renting the car anyways, and then there's some way probably that, you know, you haven't, in your family, you said that wasn't, you weren't allowed to do that, you didn't spend money, they were in survival mode, right? Is that what they were in, survival mode?
We might not have her online.
Oh, we might have lost her.
I'm not too sure.
So basically, what you do is, it's like you have to find a way to, I call it self-soothe yourself towards the thing that you know you want. So even though in your head you know, okay, it's okay for me to spend this money and enjoy my life, I can do that now. But in your body's saying something different. So it's like you've got to start to connect those two things together. You've got to start to, it might feel not so good at first, and that's okay. And so you just have to be able to be with yourself and go, okay, it's okay, it's okay. This feels uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I know why it feels, like you have all the information. I know why it feels uncomfortable, and it's okay. Like, it's okay for me to be allowed to enjoy my life. Okay, I'm just going to try for 5 minutes to enjoy my life when I drive in the car. I'm going to put on my favorite song, and I'm going to enjoy my life. And it's like you're growing that muscle to actually, in your case, to celebrate or mm-hmm. to, you know, have pleasure. Like, that's your own thing that you have to grow. Other people, they can't deal with the difficulty very much. Yours is to actually enjoy yourself.
And ask yourself, too, what was the cost? What was the cost that you know in the history of your family of spending money? Or maybe they lost their mommy, maybe they lost the farm, maybe they lost the house, whatever it was. What was the cost? And what are you fearing is the cost to you emotionally or physically of spending money? Like, what's your little voice saying about what you think you may lose if you rent that car? More than just the money, but what do you think that you might lose?
Because it's probably the same thing. You're probably still paying for whatever your family had to pay back then, and you actually don't need to anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you are there,
good.
Tanya?
Yes.
Okay, sorry, I thought we had...
Yeah, I'm here. Like, it just feels like this big incongruency where in that moment, my mind's saying, yes. Mm-hmm. Rent the car.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, okay, I rent the car, and then boom, anxiety for the whole week that I have the car.
Yeah.
And it's tough because you're on a vacation and you want to enjoy the car and you're having to deal with the anxiety. And
you might still have to deal with the anxiety until you don't anymore.
Yeah.
You know, just because your mind is saying, yes, this is the right thing to do, and you are walking into a different way your family did those things, doesn't mean the anxiety is going to go away that quickly. Mm. You know, you just might have to keep stepping into it.
Now, can I just bring one thing to the table? Because just for myself, you know, I've struggled with different things myself and made quite a journey on things. Just recently, I got certified as a hypnotist, and I found hypnosis to be a very powerful tool in shifting those deep programs that are almost embodied at a cellular level from childhood, and that going into that relaxed state that you do when you do hypnosis, and then shifting, reframing, reprogramming yourself at the core, addressing some of those core beliefs and programming that went on there, that can just so release you powerfully. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's something for me, just, you know, I mean, I'm not a therapist like you guys, but, you know, that's something that I definitely would recommend, but, you know.
Because it's habitual, like to stop that cycle.
Oh, it's just.
Because it sounds like it's a cycle that Tanya's in.
Yeah, and you need to shift something. That's there at the cellular level, and it's embodied. It's in you. Yeah. And it's one thing to talk about it in your head and to have the intention and the thought that, yes, this is what I want. But in the meantime, your whole body is screaming in anxiety or fear, and it's going the opposite direction against what you actually want consciously. Mm-hmm. So you're battling this. The conscious is battling the subconscious, and you need to bring the two into alignment, and then you'll be released to go forward in full power.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so another way to do that is experientially, because that also changes you at a cellular level, right?
Does.
Or any
yes.
or any kind of spiritual, mystical experience also changes your insides, right? They can change all your cells. So.
Oh, absolutely. There's a real link between spiritual healing and hypnosis. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we have another caller.
That's
okay,
right.
Okay, great.
And online. And...
Okay, go ahead.
I don't see a
light pushing. Hello,
there's
is
no
anybody
light.
There? Or
there's no light.
There's
okay.
no light?
Well, then keep talking.
Okay.
I'll call Anne again.
Oh, okay. Okay, sure thing. You know, we were on to something before this. I got a little bit distracted here talking about changes in life.
Parenting, developmental.
Parenting, yeah. Oh, and I was saying, so, you know, in terms of life cycle rituals and that have in the past helped us adjust to change, which we don't have today. Mm-hmm. We're really lacking in having resources, tools, structures to assist us in making those life cycle changes. So are there any tips that you could give perhaps for certain seasons in life?
Well, I think one of the wonderful things about that teen journey that's coming up is that they are going to help children or teens go through a transition, and they're going to recognize that it is a big transition for children and parents. And if you don't have a smooth transition in your teenage years, you don't necessarily have a smooth transition in your 20s and 30s. And then having children, and then menopause, and then all the other developmental stages that we all go through. So whatever happens in your teenage years, if that is not healed or walked through gently, you're going to recreate that. You're going to visit that one more time and one more time and one more time. Mm-hmm. And we can, you know, anyone over 40 will probably go, yeah, this is familiar. I felt this before. This is what I did when I was 19. Mm-hmm. This I'm doing it again now when I'm 40 and again and again. So that's starting at the young age to help them transition through. That is for prevention, actually, mm-hmm. to help them then go through the next stage and see how they did that.
Right, more
and learn some skills that can help them in transitioning then into university and then into marriage and all the way
up. So it's really
line.
Quite a foundational, very important period in life, isn't it, to equip you to be successful as an adult down the road.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, and I think one of the things that's difficult about our culture is that we tend to avoid change or go away from it. Whereas, you know, when in societies where there's more ritual and that there's actually procedures and ceremonies mm-hmm. for rites of passage and change, and we don't have very much of that. And that's mm-hmm. actually going towards change, which is, you know, one of the tips is that, you know, if something's happening in your life, go towards it as opposed to away from it, because you're not going to be able to stop it.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yeah.
It's okay. Almost like having a toolbox where society or a community is providing, recognizing that one is going through a transition like from childhood to adulthood mm-hmm. and is providing healthy ways of dealing with this transition, where usually as parents we're not really equipped and we're not supposed to do that, because part of the adolescent or growing up is to create our own identity that is separate from our
mm-hmm,
parents.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we have Anne online again, so let's try that again.
Yes.
Laura and Lisa.
Oh,
hi.
Hey, that's great to have you. And
hey.
This is Anne, is it? Or
yes, it is.
Hi, Anne.
Hi,
good
Anne.
To have you on the air.
Hi, thanks. Well, I'm going through quite a big life change for me, and probably similar to some other people in their mid-40s. I've been at the same job for the last 10 years, and I'm just leaving it in September to head off on a new venture, which is completely different for me, and I'm feeling both nervous and really excited about it. And I guess one of the things that, so I worked at a corporation downtown, and it's a job that I'm quite happy with, but it just didn't feel like it was like I didn't feel that fulfilled with it. So I'm leaving it and kind of forging out. But I'm in my mid-40s now, and I've got two young kids. And one of the reasons why I really liked the job was that the pension and the benefits associated with it. And so even though I'm really excited about moving out into this new career, I'm also like, you know, am I doing the right thing,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. That's probably quite normal to have those fears and concerns.
Yeah. And so I thought I'll call and see if you, I don't know, if you had any tips or ideas on how I can keep walking forward here, sure. and or what approach, you know, you might suggest.
Oh, that's great, Anne. Thanks so much.
Well, one of the difficult things is exactly what you said, am I doing the right thing? Because we don't know if we're doing the right thing until we actually do it. So as long as you've put in place, it sounds like you've planned ahead, so you know that you're going to leave this job. And as long as you keep stepping into what am I fearing is the next step. So if it isn't the right thing, then what? What will it mean about me if it isn't the right decision?
I know. Well, especially when I've already said no, you know, when I've already let go of my 10-year accumulated pension.
I mean, I think it's also good to be clear on what is your criteria and how you're going to measure what the right thing is. Like, what's that?
Do you know that?
Value that you have? Is that what you're walking? What are you walking towards?
Yeah. I think it's a little bit of value and a little bit of how I'm, like, how I feel kind of while I'm walking that way.
So do you know what your criteria is? How would you measure if it was the right thing or not? Is it financial? Is it an emotional? How will I feel? It'll be a good move if I get to surround myself with people again? Or how are you measuring if it's the right thing?
Well, I've never actually, it was kind of interesting that you said that, because I never actually have kind of listed my values or my criteria, but I think it's like walking towards joy. You mm-hmm. know, where do I feel like am I contributing? So that's a little bit of that's a bit of my criteria, and that's more of a feeling state, mm-hmm. right? And it's also a little bit financial as well, because, you know, the reality is I have a family to support,
mm-hmm.
right? So, and I think it's connection too, which is related back to the joy, not necessarily related back to the finances, but
right.
connection to other people.
Okay. Like I know that one of the reasons why I was hesitant about leaving the job that I have is that I work in a large corporation, and I know lots of people, and it's a team environment, and that's the parts that I really like about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm heading off, and I'm actually heading off to start a counseling business, and that's not really an area where it's you know, I'm not working in a large corporation. I'm working on my own, so I'll need to continue to forge connections, I guess.
Uh-huh.
It uh-huh. sounds like you're just starting to make your list right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so connection's important to you, joy, to have joy, and to contribute.
And what about spirituality? Is that on that list at all?
Well, that's huge, I think. That's one of the reasons why I'm heading off in the direction is because that's going to be part of my, my practice, I think. It's not like I couldn't get it in this other job either, right? It's just more about my mm-hmm. state of being and mm-hmm. and having faith. So, yeah, but that is a criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And how about a sense of purpose? The impression I got when you first spoke that the reason why you're leaving is that you want greater fulfillment and probably a sense of greater meaning and purpose. And often I think it's sort of like we have an inner calling of the soul that's calling us to our destiny, to something greater, something more than just that job. Is that one of your criteria, is a sense of you're fulfilling a life purpose perhaps?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I think so. And it hasn't been just a job. Like, I can also get all these qualities in my job. It mm-hmm. just doesn't feel like it's my calling, I guess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's very important. Yeah. Yeah. I know for myself, I really, really, because I made a similar decision myself, exactly what you're talking about, you know, in my life. And one thing I think with fear for me is that I came to realize is fear is often a sense tinged also with excitement that you're leaving the old behind and you're leaving the familiar territory. You're leaving your comfort zone and you're expanding yourself. You're expanding your life. You're going into new dimensions. And that's the unknown. And with the unknown, it's always scary. It's always scary. So fear isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's really quite the norm. In fact, it's a good sign. It means you're growing, you're expanding into something new and something different. And, so don't get psyched out by fear.
Yeah, and I was going to say, what keeps coming back for me, Anne, when I hear you talk is this idea of faith, because I hear you saying you could have what you want, these values, this list, whether you're at this job or that job. So I think you can't make the wrong decision. Mm-hmm. I think it doesn't matter where you are. You're going to do the work that you're supposed to be doing no matter what. It's not the box you're in. It's that it doesn't matter whether you're at your corporate job or it doesn't matter whether you're in this new career. You are going to be walking towards those values, which include spirituality and faith. And so the outside part doesn't matter so much. You're going to be doing your calling no matter what form. So this is just the form, this next, you know, whenever it is you're leaving your job that you're going to pick.
Yeah.
Right. And the form's not important, I don't think.
Even if you fell flat on your face, even if that happened, you are still walking towards your goal, and falling flat on your face, if that happened to you, Anne, you would still be in your purpose. I wonder why or what falling on your face was for. What purpose is it for me? What do I need to fall on my face for? If that was the worst scenario that you could come up with.
What might I be teaching the world as I'm falling on my face and picking myself back up?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That might be your calling. You don't have control over actually at all. Hmm. Except for to keep going towards it.
So at every venture, there's a purpose in it. Every single time we make a turn in any direction, there's a purpose in it. Even when it doesn't look like it's the way we wanted it to pan out, there is some perfect reason that this is happening at this exact moment.
Right. Yeah.
And that's where the faith comes in.
It feels like that for me. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's
excited
great.
About it.
And one thing that really comes through is, you know, like just like Laura was saying, you really are exhibiting confidence in yourself that you can handle anything. That even if it might not succeed the way you would think, this counseling, and maybe doors don't open the way you would like or what you anticipated, but if those doors close, there'll be other ones that will be open and you have the ability to find them. It sounds like you really have the inner resources to create the future, whichever pathway the path goes. If it winds around to the left or to the right or this way or that way, you just keep going on the path. If this door closes, well, you'll find an open door around the corner. Mm-hmm. And so it's not a matter of, oh, you fail. It's a journey. It's an ongoing journey.
Right, right. Yes, I like thinking of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks
well, congratulations, Anne, for making the big step.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks. I'm enjoying listening to you.
Yeah. Thanks for calling.
Being brave, that's great.
Thank you.
And before we have another call, I think it's time to remind our listeners, you're listening to 102.7 FM Co-op Radio Station. This is Conscious Living Radio. And we are talking to Lisa and Laura, professional counselors, and our topic tonight is how to approach change. Our phone online, if you want to contribute to this discussion, is 604-684-7561. 684-7561. And before we get another caller, I have a question. I would like you to address the ultimate change that eventually is going to meet us one day. Change from being on this earth, in this body, in this
form. I thought he was talking about wrinkles. Oh, death.
Well, you're younger than me. I already know that change. death.
Death.
How do we prepare for that?
Wow.
We only have 15 more minutes,
Andrew,
I'm not sure. Can
Andrew
we add to the wrinkles one instead?
That one is such a great question, because death is the one thing that we know we're all going to experience, right? Like, that's, some of us may have kids, some of us, you know, may go back to school when we're older, some of us may have a difficult time with menopause, other ones won't. You know, we have all sorts of variables. Death, we're all going to do that one. There's no option there. Well, maybe things will change, but so far we don't have another option. So how do we prepare for it? I don't know if you can. I don't know how you prepare for it. I think that, you know, the more you, I kind of think of learning how to change gracefully, which includes grieving it. And so there's, you know, all these different changes like we've mentioned as we go along with life, right, is that you have to meet it. And I think that, you know, my personal wish around that is that I do meet death when it happens in an open way, like I meet other things in my life, that I'm open-hearted and I'm able to connect with people in spirit. And, you know, that's my hope. And so I think it's, well, we will do death how we do relationships. So work on doing relationship in a way that you feel like you're in integrity. And therefore, the next phase will be the same.
Yeah, it feels like meeting death is the same way you meet your life. You know, like being around losing people, it all it does is turn up that I need to live bigger.
Yes.
Because one day I'm going to go. One day someone else is going to go around me. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's how am I facing or approaching death? How am I approaching life? That's actually what I'm doing. I'm not thinking about death. I'm thinking about life and expanding life and living bigger and showing up more. Because I don't know, I have today right now, as we're talking right now at 6:47, but I don't know how much more time I have, any more than you do. Mm-hmm. So I am approaching death by approaching life bigger and stepping into it fully. And no matter what happens, I'm at least going to show up in whatever happens.
And it's, I have a 5.5-year-old, and she asked me, she's very interested in the concept of death right now for some reason. And you know, I keep saying, well, all I know is that I focus on living my life right now. That's the only thing I know. And I feel sad that one day this I'm not going to have this, but I don't know what I am going to have, and I have to be able to live with that. Does that answer your question, or should we go back to wrinkles?
I think wrinkles is just a part of preparation.
If we can accept wrinkles, we can accept death.
Yes.
It's that, this whole concept of living as if it was our last day. We have no phone calls, so let's continue.
Because we only have maybe about 10 minutes left here. How about highlighting perhaps some key aspects or key tools, principles to empower us in dealing with change that could be perhaps applicable to almost anyone, anytime, anything? You know, if it be bankruptcy or winning the lottery, undergoing tragedy, trauma, or whatever, you know, finding the love of your life and getting married, or losing, you know, getting divorced. I mean, there's so much change in life. What are some tools to empower us in helping us to cope with change in the most effective and beneficial way?
I mean, I think one tool would be is to know what your faith, what you do have faith in. I think the people that do very well with change are people that have faith in something outside of their physical world. Uh-huh. So whether that's God or Buddha or spirit or Mother Earth or whatever, they love, connection, but some sort of belief or value that is bigger than whether they're with the right guy or whether they got this, or you know, whatever that thing is, whether they have the house, that there's some sort of faith you have in something else. So I'd say for sure, no, everybody believes in something. I've yet to meet a person that doesn't believe in something. So know what that thing is. Know where you go inside yourself to call on that when you need to, because that's going to help you towards any transition you're making. That'd be number one on my list.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. I think I know that's helped me a lot in my life. Hugely. Mm-hmm. It's been critical, actually, because I think if you have that kind of faith in something bigger, something more than just little old me, then it allows for hope. Because just in and of myself, I might just not have hope. I might not think that I can make it. I can't, you know, like I'm limited.
Right.
You know, in and of myself, I can hit the wall of limitation, that I don't have the strength and or whatever it is, you know. But if there's a reaching out to something bigger than me that I can connect with, as something more that transcends me, and if I can kind of reach out and connect with that, that can maybe pull me up out of
my pit of despair mm-hmm. or my limitations and give me some hope that it could lead somewhere or there could be some resolution or something better might yet happen somehow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And connected with that, so if you believe that there's a bigger picture, then you have to also know that you are part of that. So if you are part of that picture, then what is this struggle, what is this change going to do with the inside of you? What is it that you're learning about yourself in the middle of this? Whether it be a fantastic thing of a baby being born and your relationship changes, or that you lose someone and the biggest struggle of all, you know, losing someone close to you. There is a purpose in that. There is a purpose to, maybe it's to get closer connections. Maybe it's to learn a new skill about challenges. You know, if our caller earlier, Anne, if her counseling practice didn't take off and suddenly she started doing some other part-time job and then she discovered that she loves painting and she's using art therapy in her, who knows where that could go? So it's to know that in every juncture there's a purpose. Every single time we take a decision, to make a decision about something, mm-hmm. there's a purpose, and we are then connected to the outside world. Mm-hmm. So how we maneuver through that connects to our inner growth, which makes life worth living, which brings joy to our life, you know, which brings joy to other people and helps us connect in other ways.
Mm-hmm. And also the more seasoned you kind of get at that kind of stuff, you can start to look at these difficult things that happen that you would view difficult and know that there's a gift, that there is something is going to be birthed out of this struggle if you walk towards it. So there's also hope in that, even though you might not like the struggle, but you're still, there's something that is going to be birthed there.
So there's the two questions. What do I have faith in? And what's the purpose of this, mm-hmm. whatever it is?
And would you say, what I find for me is a key thing is having that sense of awareness, being reflective, being aware of what's going on in my life, tuning into it instead of running away from mm-hmm. it or not visiting it, mm-hmm. but being fully present and aware of it. And then, as you see, look for the gift, create a purpose out of it. Even if sometimes, I think sometimes things can appear meaningless, it's up to us to create the meaning.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And to find the purpose. Mm-hmm. And we can choose to make it meaningful and redeem it,
right.
and lift that negative into something positive and transform it. Mm-hmm. And it's like alchemy. We can, it's a transformative process that we can bring to the table. As we bring our consciousness to it, we can effect a transformation and turn something potentially ugly into something beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And it is about,
I think we don't have to shy away from calling it what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Conscious living.
Yes, that's what it's all about.
It is about self-awareness. It's about looking at what's going on inside me. And maybe it is, maybe someone does have to cry for a whole year over mm-hmm. something. Maybe that's what's needed. Maybe that's what's required.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe someone needs to quit their job for a year or be depressed for a year. Maybe that is the exact perfect thing that is required.
That's right.
For someone then to turn around and talk about depression mm-hmm. or talk about losing a child or talk about their struggle in their wedding and the 6 months after that it wasn't the bliss that they thought it was going to be, and maybe that was the exact thing needed for mm-hmm. them to help someone else or brings that gift to the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the exact thing needed or it wouldn't be happening.
Mm. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Laura and Lisa. We've had, I think, a wonderful time here tonight. That was a great discussion on change.
I think we are not finished with discussion. We still have one phone call.
Oh, we have one. Oh, yeah, good. One last minute caller here.
Excellent.
Okay,
all right.
Let's try. Can you hear us?
Oops.
Hello.
Yes. Hi. Who do we have here?
You have Scott.
Hi, Scott. Great to have you on the air.
Hi, thank Scott.
You. Hi.
We have 1 minute, Scott, for a question, so let's try to make it quick.
Okay. I guess I'm in the midst of change, which is, you know, what I gather you're talking about. I guess I'm just wondering, in the face of, I'm thinking of my parents and they're, getting older in life and just trying to reestablish good communication with them, and I find it kind of hard in that, they're they've got certain set ways of doing mm-hmm. things, and it's, you know, just trying to break the ice and do things differently. And, you know, I like the idea of changing what's going on there, but some of those patterns seem entrenched, and it's kind of hard to know what to do with that.
Mm-hmm. And are the patterns, we can't ask too many questions of you, are the patterns dangerous, like, for their health, or are these just general life patterns that they do that you want to change?
No, I wouldn't say dangerous to their health, but I guess my in being with them, I find that you know, even trying to introduce a different way of thinking sometimes, you know,
is difficult.
It gets feathers ruffled, and it's like, you know, it's not my intention to.
So that's a good word is intention. So what is your intention? So that's to make this as quick as we can to give you some information. What is your intention in trying to change these things? And the optimal word is trying, because when you're trying to change, actually nothing happens. So ask yourself, what's my intention is to try to implement these changes? And another thing that's really helpful for me is I look at people that have lost their mother or father and how sad they are about that, and how, and then I focus on, wait a minute, I've got one parent left, so what am I doing trying to change that? So you've got two, so talk to people that have lost theirs, and how much a hole it is in their life, and they wish that they could go back and not try to change anything. So check your intention and chat to people that have no parents, and how much of a hole it is in their life. And connection is everything.
Yes.
When they're gone, they're gone.
And your parents might not need to change at all.
Yeah, they might be just perfect.
It may be just you in order to have a more loving relationship at this stage of the game.
Hmm. Yeah, that's what it seems. Yeah, certainly my intention is to have a more loving or open relationship with them. But
all right, keep that in mind. Thanks for the call, Scott. Okay. Sorry we had to rush you.
Yeah.
No worries.
Thanks, Scott. So sorry, we're out of time here, and I'm sure that's something everybody can relate to. We always want to try to change somebody else, mm-hmm. and it doesn't work too well. So the challenge is for us how to deal with that. All right. So, Laura, Lisa, it was great to have you in the studio again. It's always one of my highlights is to have you two here on the air. I just love doing this with you guys, and I hope we can do it soon again.
All right. Thanks, Lisa.
Yeah,
thank you.
It was awesome to have you. All right. I wish I could join you in Bermuda sometime.
Yeah. Never know.
All right. Well, thanks so much, and good night.
Thank you.
Good job.
You have been listening to Conscious Living Radio, a program that explores frontiers of consciousness, spirituality, personal growth, the emerging paradigms in psychology, health, science, and innovative philosophies that reflect a commitment to the advancement of individual, social, and global transformation. Tune in every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. to Co-op Radio 102.7 FM. For information about our past and future programming and free downloads of shows, go to consciouslivingradio.org. Above